Hi everyone, welcome, and it's good to be able to talk to you and use technology in these tricky times, these strange times that we're in at the moment. And wherever you are at the moment, whether you're at home, connecting via Zoom, we just want to let you all know that you're deeply in our prayers at this time, and recognize that if there's anyone who needs any assistance, please to be picking up the phone, talking to us, asking for help. I'm reminded at this time that we are the body of Christ, that we are family, genuinely family, sharing the Spirit of Christ together. And so whatever our experiences are at the moment, whether we are deeply anxious, frustrated, struggling to look after our kids at this time, whether we're still going into work or whether we're under circumstances where maybe our jobs are under threat. Regardless of what those circumstances might be, we are family, and we want to be supporting and helping one another. So as we come to God's word this morning, let me pray. Lord God, we do thank you so much for your word. We thank you that even in times like this, these strange times that we live in, we are able to gather together, see each other's faces, and remember that we are family, that we are the body of Christ, that we are your people. And Lord, we particularly pray for anyone who is in particularly vulnerable circumstances at the moment, feeling isolated, feeling anxious, feeling worried, Lord. We ask that you might give us an extra sense of your peace at this time and a reminder that you have conquered all things and that you are victorious. So thank you, Lord, that you are in control. May we all turn to you at this time. Amen. So I imagine most of us have had the rather surreal experience over the last few weeks of walking through Coles or IGA and seeing all the bare and empty shelves. So whether it's toilet paper, pasta, milk, sanitizer, disinfectant or various other goods, the shelves are empty. But as I was walking through Coles the other day, I noticed that there was something that's not in short supply. Easter eggs. They were everywhere. It's only 2 weeks away from Easter, but you wouldn't know it. Our minds and anxieties are so focused on the virus at the moment that it's very difficult for people to look forward to Easter or even give time to think about it. Right now, it seems there are much more pressing needs. But as I've been reflecting on this situation, I can't help but wonder whether what our world needs more than anything else right now is the story of Easter to be front and centre in our minds. Obviously, our Easter gatherings are going to be different this year. But usually our churches hold a sunrise service on Easter Sunday out at Hawkesbury Lookout at Winmalee. And some of you have joined us for that time in the past few years. And there's two reasons why we do this. One reason is that it was as the sun rose on Easter Sunday that Jesus' friends rushed to the tomb to find it empty. But the other reason is that the rising of the sun is a metaphor for new beginnings. And Easter is all about a new beginning. Because emerging from that dawn on Easter morning 2,000 years ago, as the light began to kiss the mountains and the leaves began to glisten, a whole new world was born. And in some ways, it was a day like any other. The sun looked the same. People still bustled about with their daily routines, working the land and conducting business. Creatures still crawled and leapt and trotted around the countryside. So this momentous new beginning could easily have been missed if you were looking in the wrong places. But the reason that new dawn, that sunrise was so significant and so momentous was because a resurrection had taken place. And if a resurrection has taken place, then everything is different because this new world is one where it is now possible that the tyrant of death might not have the final say. Before that dawn, Death was the ultimate master of human history who we would all bow before. The dark shadow looming over life. But after that dawn, a new hope was born. A new possibility. For if one had escaped the clutches of death, perhaps we might too. A world with resurrection is vastly different to a world where there's no resurrection. But the hope of Easter Sunday is more than a possibility. It's more than a vague hope that perhaps death might not claim us. And that's because of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. If Jesus was merely a person like you and me, then his death and resurrection might have been fascinating, and we might well try and figure out how he pulled off such a fancy trick. But it would be ultimately meaningless for us. I mean, nobody's been able to pull off the same trick since. And a 1 in 20 billion chance of resurrection aren't great odds. But, and this is the claim of those who witnessed Jesus alive after his resurrection, Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he is uniquely equipped to say, "What I have done, I now share with you who follow me." The passage that we read earlier from 1 Corinthians says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." The dawn of Easter and every dawn after it shines on a world where resurrection is not just a vain hope. It's an event that occurred in history according to the witness of at least 500 people, and it's a certainty offered to those who belong to Jesus. N.T. Wright says of Easter, "The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it." And so the ultimate question then for all of us is this: has there been a resurrection? Because if there's been a resurrection, then everything has changed. The sun that rises each morning shines on a world of hope. A world where we live not for this moment, but towards a forever life walking the way of Jesus. A world where the resurrection of Jesus flows out into all of creation as all things are being made new, from the dirt at our feet to the society that we live in. But if not, if there has been no resurrection, then there's no reason for us to gather at all. If there's been no resurrection, then turn off your devices. Don't bother gathering with us this morning. Sleep in, indulge yourselves, and make the most of deriving what pleasure you can from today, because if there's no resurrection, then the sun is shining only briefly on a fickle, fleeting, and finite world. A world with resurrection fundamentally changes how we live in the present. And it fundamentally should change how we respond and live in times of crisis like now. As we look around us during this challenging time, there are people living in two vastly different worlds. Some people are walking around and living life in a world where a resurrection has not taken place. And that's a terrifying world to live in. Meanwhile, others of us are living in a world where resurrection is a reality that has already taken place and is promised. So how might the certainty of Jesus' resurrection shape how we respond to the coronavirus? First of all, I think it's really important to acknowledge that just because we live in a world with resurrection doesn't mean sickness and death are trivial things that hold no power over us. It's natural and right to be cautious. It's understandable to be anxious and somewhat fearful during this time, especially for those of us in vulnerable circumstances. Likewise, hope doesn't mean we should be foolish and ignore warnings, but enact them with grace and thoughtfulness. However, death and fear need not have the same grip over us as it does for those who live in a world with no resurrection. A few verses after our reading today, Paul says this: "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" And so we live as people governed first and foremost by hope. Even though fear and anxiety are realities we all face, hope has triumphed. Hope will triumph. Jesus has triumphed. We've seen in the last few weeks how humanity, when gripped and controlled by fear and the shadow of death, responds in times of crisis. An article I read the other day said this. It's a fairly complicated quote, so I'll summarise at the end, but they're lovely or really captivating words. It said this: "The panic over the past few weeks reveals a society in which God is dead. But the corollary or the consequence of that hollow progressive victory is pervasive communal terror of death and a loss of stoicism in the face of death or mild deprivation." In other words, when Jesus remains in the tomb, death and crisis are utterly terrifying. And this grip of resurrectionless fear looks like self-focused hoarding, where we take more and more for ourselves at the expense of others. The tyranny of death looks like empty supermarket shelves and angry words of accusation in checkout queues. The grip of fear looks like turning in on ourselves and focusing on self when many in our community are facing the threat of unemployment, isolation, and illness. The grip of fear would look like us all abandoning one another and the community around us to look after number one. And let me say, in a world without resurrection, this response not only makes sense, but it would be the wise thing to do. And that's why the gospel will always look radically different and surprising to the world. Because a world with resurrection offers a radically different kind of wisdom. The wisdom of God becoming flesh. The wisdom of Christ crucified. The wisdom of an empty tomb. The wisdom that comes when death's shadow is overpowered by the light of hope. And so how do we live as people of hope in this time? Perhaps we might, like a person from amongst our churches has already done, gather supplies of toilet paper and offer them to people freely as they come to shop it at Coles or IGA. The act of giving away what others are hoarding is so countercultural and surprising at the moment. Perhaps we might, like some in our church community are already doing, make contact with our neighbours in our street and work out ways to care for each other and support those who are vulnerable in the weeks and months ahead. The act of being other person-centred and loving in times such as this offers hope to those who are feeling hopeless. Perhaps we might look at stockpiling frozen foods to offer to our community, or create Easter baskets that can be gifted to those in our neighbourhoods. The way we are expressing our unity as the body of Christ has shifted and may continue to change in the weeks ahead. There'll be a grief that comes with the fact that we can't physically gather together in a space at the moment. But there's also opportunities for us all to offer hope as people who live in a world with resurrection. And so I'd encourage us all, even in the midst of moments of fear and anxiety, to turn our faces outwards, first to each other and then to our wider community. And I'd also encourage us to call for help too. Part of living as people of God is not just serving each other, but also relying on each other. There are seasons where we are in positions to give generously, and there are seasons where we need help desperately. And perhaps much of the time we live in seasons where we need a bit of both. Asking for help does not mean you are being fearful or selfish. It is simply recognizing your neediness and turning to your brothers and sisters for help like any family should do. Jesus' resurrection has changed everything. We live in a world where death has been swallowed up, and though its shadow still lingers, hope has been born into our world. So maybe as the rest of the world wanders past Easter, ignorant that a resurrection has occurred, desperate for toilet paper, might we pause in the madness and fix our eyes ever more firmly on Jesus, because he is our hope. He is the hope of this world. And to finish in the words of a Christian writer last week who said this: "Remember, in this time that will undoubtedly become known as lockdown Lent, hope came bursting forth and left the tomb far emptier than a supermarket toilet roll aisle ever could be." Let me pray. Lord God, again, we are reminded that we are people who live in a world where a resurrection has taken place, and not just any resurrection, the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, who shares that resurrection life with all who will follow him. And Lord, as people who you have brought together as family, as people who you have filled with your Spirit, we live as people of resurrection. And though we live in times now where we are anxious and fearful and worried, where we may be facing unemployment, monetary stress, and various other challenges, Lord, we ask that we would be turning to you and fixing our eyes on Jesus. May we remember that there is nothing that can separate us from your love, that you have been victorious over death. And so may we first and foremost be people of hope, so that when we fear, we don't fear in the same way as the rest of the world. May you teach us to have our eyes focused outwards, to love one another, to love our community, and to show the world your love at this time. Amen.